I thank God that we have a God, whether we don't, whether we get it right or whether we get it wrong, He still loves us. Some of our friends may not love us. They may not like us. But does it matter what you and I go through? It doesn't matter what we're dealing with. God still loves us. It may look like a train wreck. It may look like that it'll never come to pass in your life in a good way. It may look like I don't know what's going on, but listen, God knows what's going on. And He sees everything that's around us. And I've always said there's no surprise with God. God will, you know, there's people that will surprise you and you'll say, oh my goodness, I can't believe they said that. Oh my goodness, I can't believe they did this. But listen, there's no surprise with God, because God knows exactly what's going on in our lives, what's going on in everybody else's life, and He knows ahead of time, way before you, and He's already there before you get there. So guess what? We just got to bask in His love. We've just got to bask in His grace. We just got to bask in His mercy and just say, Daddy, He's Abba Father. Daddy, take it over. Take charge, Daddy, because I can't handle it no more. I'm going to get my hands off of it, because when you got your hands on it, you're going to make a big mess out of it. But when you relinquish and take your hands off the situation and say, God, I'm looking to You. I'm looking to the cross. I'm going to let You take care of it. That's when God becomes God in your life. And that's when He becomes the one that you need in your life. You don't need everything else around you. You may think you do, but you don't. When you've got God, you've got it all. When you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got it all. Why? Because He goes before you. He sees what tomorrow is. He knows what next week's going to be. He knows what next month's going to be. He knows what lies ahead. And all we have to do is just bask in His love and say, Jesus, take the wheel. I can't handle this anymore. And that's when God becomes God in your life. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, there are going to be times that you and I are going to go through some things. We're going to go through some valleys. And I want to let you know today that the devil will always bring temptation to you, because God's not going to do that. So don't think God's tempting you, because God can't be tempted. So He's not going to, that's not going to be in His vocabulary. So there's no need to worry that God's tempting you. The enemy's tempting you, but God's going to test you. God's going to bring some tests to your life. Why? Because He's refining you. He's refining you. He wants you to become stronger. Iron sharpens iron. And the more we see the Word of God, the more it will unfold unto us that we know that God is with us. He is for us, and He's not against us. Oh, my goodness. Stand with me today as we read Galatians 2 and 20. I'm about to take off here, and I got to read the scripture here as we do every Sunday morning. Galatians 2 and 20, we read this every morning. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave Himself for me. Amen. You may be seated today across this building. It is good to see each and every one in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles there before you, just hold them up. That's the sword of the Spirit. I want to thank those for watching today. My prayer is, there's something I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today. The Bible are there in the pews. The Bible will be projected, but I want you to have a Bible in your hand so you can see exactly what I'm saying, because we want to look at this a little bit as time will permit. The title of my message, as we're getting closer into Easter here, the title is, What Do You Say That I Am? There's a question. What do you say that I am? And we're going to look at this a little bit as Jesus shares with His disciples, because He asked them a question. Did you know Jesus asked a question? He did. This is the question He said. Who do men say that I am? We're going to look at this of what Jesus asking a question. And then you think sometimes, does Jesus ask a question? Yes, He did. He asked a question. And we're going to look at this. Go with me to Matthew's Gospel of the New Testament, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Matthew 16 and 13. Matthew 16 and 13. And we want to look at this just a little bit today. Matthew 16 and 13. We're going to go 13 through 19. And we're going to look at this a little bit. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea, which is Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" I want you to see the difference here, how Jesus is asking this question. "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," watch this, "for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you," but here's what he says. He says, "But my Father who is in heaven, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys," watch this, "the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Can I hear an amen to God's word? I want you to know today, when we look at this passage, Jesus begins to ask the question to the disciples. He had been with the disciples for a little while. They had gone through some different things of different people, of the Sadducees and Pharisees and those that hated Jesus and didn't like what he was doing. And so Jesus had that time that when they saw all of those that basically was mockers and everybody that mocked him and laughed at him and said he was this and that and the other, he quietly, after all that, he pulled his disciples aside and he said, "Listen, guys, we got a retreat here." He says, "We've got to have a retreat right here, and I need to talk with you a little bit." Jesus takes the disciples on a retreat beside everybody else. He pulls them aside and looks at them one-on-one. Our Lord is a Lord of demanding schedule. Yet there was made a long journey to meet the needs of people, because he was pressed by the crowds. He was pressed by starting. He was pressed by the questions. And he was being questioned. He was hailed with a debate about who he was and what he was doing. The critics were all around him, scheming up opposition, trying to do everything they could to knock down our Lord and Savior. He had sat weary by a well and fell asleep in the storm. And to cope with his load, he often took little mini vacations just to break away from the crowd and to pray to his Heavenly Father. And this retreat that he was doing with the disciples was at Caesarea Philippi, and was the most notable area that he would always meet with the disciples. And on this part that they were looking at, as he began to share with them, they began to realize that Jesus was serious about his work. They realized that he was serious about the question that was given to them. There are times in our life that we will face opposition. We will face uncertainties. We will face a question that you and I will have to answer. And sometimes we will answer hastily. Sometimes we'll not have wisdom, or we haven't prayed about it. We haven't talked to the Lord about it. And somebody may ask you something, and you may bleep out an answer and regret what you've said because you didn't take it to the Lord in prayer. This was a time that Jesus was literally asking the disciples before they blurted out an answer, "Who do men say I am? And do you really know who I am?" And there are going to be times in our life that it's going to be where we're going to have to go before the Lord in prayer, because sometimes we may not have an answer. You may not have an answer. But let me share with you today, God has the answer. He is the one that's in charge. He's the one that will answer your question in due time. He may not answer today. He may not answer next week. He may not answer next month. But God, be assured, He will answer you in due time. And when He does, it won't be the pastor, it won't be the church, but it'll be the Lord Jesus Christ giving you the answer. Jesus was putting His disciples to a test on this retreat. He was putting them to a test because He wanted to know, not because of who He was, not because He was around them, not because He could do the miracles, not because He could do the healing. He wanted to know, who has revealed who I am? And that's what we need to know today. Who has revealed unto you in your walk with God, in your relationship with God? Are you going through the motions? Are you going through because it feels good? Are you going through because everybody else is doing it? But is your relationship intact with the Lord day in and day out, that you know without a shadow of a doubt who He is? Is. And if you don't know, I want to share with you today, He is alive, He is well, and He is a God that's on the scene that will take care of you and I day in and day out. Hallelujah. I want you to know that this retreat lasted for 10 days. So He was with His disciples on this retreat. His deity was revealed to them. His deity was confirmed to them. His plan to found the church was explained, because the church would soon be developed day in and day out. You see, Jesus was getting closer to the cross that they knew nothing of. Jesus was getting closer to giving His life, and they knew nothing of. And so what Jesus was doing was He was setting the foundation of the disciples as they would continue to grow, and that they would continue to minister, and that they would not let things upset them and bring them down, because God was on a mission. Jesus was on a mission, just as you and I are on a mission. We're on a mission to do what we can to save the lost. We're on a mission to bring our family and our friends back into the harmony of the church. We're still on a mission to save those that are lost. As I see day in and day out, I was reminded as I was with the men's fellowship and we were on this pontoon boat, Mr. Ronnie had his rod and reels ready. This guy, he's a true fisherman. I mean, he really fishes well. I mean, he had a live whale set in a igloo cooler that kept the small little fish swimming around and kept them and healthy. And he would take the net and grab that and put it on the hook and throw it out there. And he said, "You know what? I'm going to get this net." Because we hadn't used the net in a while, hadn't used it at all. He said, "I'm going to get the net and I'm going to set it beside my area." And he said, "Now I'm going to cast out." And he said, "We're going to get us a fish." He said, "I just know we're going to do it." And I said, oh, yeah. I said, don't be we of little faith. I said, we got to have faith when we believe. And sure enough, when he cast it out, he caught the fish, was reeling it in. We were excited. He looked at me. He said, Pastor, it's something about that net beside that cooler. And I want you to know today, you've got to cast out. If you don't cast out, you're not going to receive. And if you don't put your hook and the bait out there, you're not going to be able to catch anything. And while we were there, Rondu, we call him Rondu, he's got a nickname, Rondu, he began to hook up with other poles, a fishing line, and he began to hook up other rod and reels, and he had one to the left, one to the right, one to the middle. What was he doing, Pastor? He was trying to catch fish. That's the way that we've got to do. We can't just be on one line. We got to have numerous lines that are going, a lifeline that's going out, because we've got to reach the lost. That's why Jesus said, who do men say that I am, and who do you say that I am? And that he is the Christ, the Lord, the living God that will supply our every needs. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you to know today, his disciples were prepared for his approaching death. He was getting them ready for death. Questions was raised. Answers that still matters to us today. I want to leave some points with you today. Write these down. The public response to Jesus. I want you to see what the world did as they responded to Jesus and what he was doing. The public response to Jesus. Matthew 16 and 13, and when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea the Philippi, he asked his disciples, say, who do men say that I am? That I, the Son of Man, am. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Whom do men say that I am? There's a question. And answering, the disciples left out some negatives. Some said that Jesus was a glutton and that he was a wine bibber. Now think about this. Some said, oh, he's a glutton. He's just going around eating everybody's food. Oh, he's just going around drinking. Well, here's proof of this. Here's the proof of the scripture of what they were saying. Matthew 11 and 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of a tax collector and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. You see, the outcasters of the world that didn't like what Jesus was doing was saying, oh, he's just walking around just getting big and fat, and oh, he was just going around and just drinking everybody's drink. But that was far from the truth. But you see what the world was? The world did not like what he was doing. The devil did not like what he's doing. Listen, when you're serving the Lord and you are the disciple and a servant of the Lord, the devil does not like that. And he's going to do everything to get you off your game. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from getting in the Word of God. He's going to try to keep you from praying. He's going to keep you from getting alone with God. We live in a society today that everything is instamatic. We live in a society today, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Well, when I get off from work, I've got to go to the grocery store. And when I go to the grocery store, I've got to go home and I've got to cook. And after I cook, I've got to get this ready to go because I've got to work tomorrow. And I've got to do this and I've got to do that and everything. And there's no time alone with God. Wait a minute. There's no time alone with God. That's why Jesus got with the disciples and says, what do you say that I am? I see what the world is saying about who I am, but listen, it's not about the world, it's about you. It's about you. It's about you being dealing with transformation. It's about you being transformed. It's by you being renewed. Paul, the Apostle Paul says, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind has to be renewed, not just on Sunday. It's got to be renewed on Monday. And it's got to be renewed on Tuesday. It's got to be renewed on a daily basis. Because the devil does not sleep. He is 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. And I've said it and I will say it again. You have a conscious and you have a subconscious. And there's times that you have got to get rest and go to bed. But that doesn't mean the devil went to bed. I mean, he's wide awake. He wants to get in your mind. If he can get in your mind, he can try to get in your heart. If he can get into your heart, he can try to get into your soul. You see, and that's why we have to be vigilant. We have to be alert. We have to understand his devices. We've got to understand the adversary of what he's doing. He is out to try to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to bring life and bring it life more abundantly. Jesus has come to bring us life. Just like a flashlight. When you turn a flashlight on, guess what? Out of the dark, it brings light. That's the way the Word of God is. When the Word of God is up, it is like a flashlight. It brings it out of darkness and brings it into light. Listen, God clearly lets us know. Some said he was demon-possessed. Jesus was demon-possessed. John 7 and 20, the people answered and said, you have a demon who is seeking to kill you. Their silence on negatives is a good lesson for us. Some thought he was John the Baptist, especially Herod. Herod said this in Matthew 14 and 2. And he said to her, and Jesus said this in Matthew 14 and 7. He said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Probably because of strong preaching against sin, oh, Herod did not like this. And some thought he was Elijah. They thought, oh, he's just a guy with miracles, just like Elijah. His fearless rebuke of hypocrites in high places began to rebuke. Some thought he was just was Jeremiah. His compassion. Oh, he's crying all the time. Jesus is crying all the time. He's just like Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, as the Pharisees said and the Sadducees said. Oh, yes, he was a great prophet, but he is like Jeremiah. You know, he cries all the time. He weeps all the time. So they begin to categorize Jesus in all of their own theology, of all of their own that they had studied in the past of the Old Testament, and said, oh, it's just another man. It's just another person that's come up. No, this man was sent from God Almighty. This man was born of a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born to die. He was going to the cross for your sins and my sins. The sin of this world was going to be placed on a cross, nailed on a tree so that you and I may have life. Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that he is? Listen. Some thought he was just another person with another story. Second point today, Peter's response to Jesus. Peter's response to Jesus. As Matthew 16 and 15, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood has not received this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. It wasn't for the disciples to wait on everybody else to tell them who he was. It is not for you and I to wait on everybody else to tell us what Jesus is saying. Jesus can tell me just as he can tell you. And there are times that people will get so wrapped up in man and get wrapped up. And listen, let me share with you today. Don't get wrapped up in your pastor. Get wrapped up in God. Get wrapped up in God. Man will let you down, but God will never let you down. Don't wait for somebody to tell you what God said. The same God that tells me is the same God that can tell you. You see, Jesus was saying, don't wait around for everybody else. But who do you say that I am? Peter said, it's been revealed, Jesus. Not to you, not from you, but from God above. God's revealed to me. God's revealed to me of who you are. And guess what he said? And upon you, Peter, I will build my... Because the Father has spoken to you, into your heart, has brought it into your heart. And because of that, the church will be built, because it's not built because it's a disciple. It's not built because it's of Jesus, but it is built from God Almighty that has said, I will establish and build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, because God has orchestrated it. He designed it so that you and I would have life and have it more abundantly. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Listen. Jesus had made this decision for the disciples. Jesus had put them in a position that they had to answer the question. He said, thou art the Christ. Peter does not wait for consensus with other disciples. To hear from others. He said, you are the Christ. Thank God for those who make decisions and the right decisions with Christ. Peter's confessions brought the result of more than a weighing facts. There had been a work of God in his heart that God was working for him. William Cloud writes this, between verdict and confession, there lies a religious experience. Between verdict and confession, there lies something that takes place in a person that they experience. This is more than just mental assent. It is faith, and faith alone is that the disciples stepped out in faith and believed, and just as we are to step out in faith and believe and to know who Christ is. Third point in my closing today, our personal response to Jesus. We have a personal response to Jesus. All are faced with this question today. What are more of a privilege than the disciples? Christ had not yet completed his ministry, and yet he had put them in a retreat for him to take time with them, to spend time with them, to share with them. And I want to share with you today, we've got to take time out for Jesus. We've got to take time out in making the retreat with Jesus. We don't need to have a retreat with other things that become other gods. We need to get on our knees with Jesus. We need to get back to old revival. We need to get back that, Lord, revive me again, where that I can be where you want me to be, that I can do what you want me to do, that I can say what I need to say, and get back to the old times of getting God to move in our hearts and our lives. Listen, we have that privilege. The Bible lets us know he had not yet died on the cross, nor he had risen, but he was getting close to it. But the same Lord works in our hearts to bring us to faith. Our Lord's response to Peter's faith, as Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Lord. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:11, For no other. Look, for no other. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no other foundation. No other foundation. Look at this. No other foundation. It's not your foundation. It's not mom's foundation. It's not your friends. It's not your family's foundation. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. Period. He lays the foundation. There's no other foundation. You can't build on another foundation. You can't build on somebody else. You can't be on somebody else. You can't get from somebody else. The foundation is built on the Lord Jesus Christ, because He says, on the foundation of the rock, I will build my church. And God is going to have a church. He has a church. He's coming back for a church. And He's coming back for people that are seeking to see Jesus in the clouds when He comes. Hallelujah. No other foundation. No other foundation. The Apostle Paul, he writes in Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Look, He is the head of the body. He is coming back. He is the groom. He is coming back for His bride. We are His bride. He's coming back. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence, that He may know, and that He be the one that we look to. He is our source from the foundations, and before the foundations of this world, He was God. Listen. When we receive Christ, we get in on His plan for our lives. When we receive Christ, we get in on His plans, not our plans, not somebody else's plans. We get on His plans for our lives. Question, what is your response to the Lord's question today? What is your response to the Lord's questions today? Who do you say that He is? Is He a little God in a box? Is He a God that's on a shelf and you look at Him from a distance and say, Jesus, when I need You, I'll call You. But right now, I'm doing good right now. I've got everything I need, but when I'm in trouble, I'll get You. And then what are you going to do? You're going to reach over there and pull Him off a shelf and say, "Now, God, I need You because I'm dealing with something." No, God is not a God to be on a shelf. God is not a God that you can just snatch up when you want Him. God is not a God that you just call on when you're in a valley or when you're dealing with an issue. God wants to be the God in the mountains, just as He is in the valleys. See, everybody wants to want God to be with them when they're in the valleys. I don't need You, Lord, when I'm on the mountain. Listen, God wants to be on that mountain. You don't know what's on that mountain. You don't know what's on the other side of that mountain. You don't know what's going to come tomorrow. You don't know what's going to come next week. But you know what? He's the God of the valley just as the God of the mountains. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring us. We don't know what lies ahead. But Jesus does. He knows what lies ahead. But here's the question. Who do we say He is? Listen, because if we're going to be like Peter at one time and try and deny Him, that's not going to do you and I any good. Listen, if Jesus had not come and died on a cross and arose on the third day, this right here would be none and void. We wouldn't need to be at church if He hadn't done all this. But because of it, we're here today, and we're here to celebrate, and we're here to say that our God is alive and He's well. And He's not a God that sleeps. He's not a God that slumbers. But He is a God that's alive and well, and He's just wanting us with open arms to say, come on home, come on back, come on back to where I need You to be. Come on, let me have that relationship with You. That's what God's wanting. God's wanting a personal relationship with You. Stand with me across the building today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. to God be the glory for the things that He has done and the things that He's going to continue to do. What a mighty God we serve. Listen, don't hold your head down. Hold your head up high. Give the world a smile and let them know who your God is. Be strong in your faith. Be strong in your walk with God. Let them know that you're a child of the King. Let them know that you know that Jesus Christ lives and that He reigns. Let them know that you come to church and you magnify and you worship God. Let them know how strong your faith is. Because I'm going to tell you what, Buddha lets the people that serve Buddha, they let you know they serve Buddha. They let you know if they serve all other gods, they'll let you know quickly. We had one lady here a long, long time ago. She's been dead and gone, but she became a Christian. But before that, she was Hindu. And she worshiped 165 gods. And she had them all marked out every day. She told me, she said, "Pastor, when I was all Hindu, she said, when I prayed to them, I called out each god, and there were 165 gods, and I would line their names up, and I would do that religiously every day." But she said, one day, a missionary that loved Jesus came and witnessed to me and begin to tell me about the love of God, that I did not have to line up 165 gods, that I could go to one God, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as she began to get ministered to by the missionary, she got saved that day. And she said, "Pastor, I threw the 165 gods out the door and I looked to the cross as the missionary had told me and said, there's only one God, because John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." And when she looked to the cross, God began to reveal unto her that this was the God that she... Hallelujah, hallelujah. It was a God that she didn't realize. But when all the other gods went out the door, the one true God came in for her. Hallelujah. That's the God I'm serving today. That's the God that you got to be serving today. That's the God that you got to love, because that God loves you unconditionally. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before You right now that You are the one and only God, the true God, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh. Oh my goodness, Lord, You describe who You are. And Father God, we ask, oh God, that You would move in a mighty way. Lord, don't just stir us, oh God, but just, Lord, begin to move in our hearts and lives like we never have been moved, Lord, through this year, Lord. Help us to be bold as lions, Lord. Help our faith to grow, Lord. Help our faith to be strengthened, Lord, to realize, Lord, to remind ourselves, Lord, that You are the Christ. You are the Holy One. You are the one, Father, that saves, delivers, and heals, Lord. And we pray today as we call upon Your name, Father, for You are the God of all gods, Lord. There's no other gods before You, Lord. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If there's someone here